Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This segment with Paul Charchin is brought to you by Ray Auto Group in Fox Lake and Raymond Auto Group in Antioch. We appreciate Paul Charchin. You can get his rankings at fanball.com. Your league should be with leaguesafe.com. He joins us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. It was a tough decision, Charch, you or the president of the Cubs and the greatest leader in the world at noon. It was a toss-up, but I was the deciding vote, and I went with Theo. I'm sorry.
Jerk.
Yeah, my bad.
You know, I've been here through thick and thin. Yeah, you know, I've been a part of this station a lot longer than he has. I mean,
true.
You know, I think that should count for something.
Hey,
a little tenure, maybe.
You know what? Win a title. Win a title, and we'll talk. All right.
How many titles have I won for your listeners? Like six.
I drafted Gronk last year in the first round because of you, Charch.
I know, and now it turns out this is going to be you'll picked him early. It's sandwiched between his two awesome years.
Charch, I have Aaron Rodgers and Mitchell Trubisky this weekend. Rodgers against Dallas on the road. Trubisky at home on Monday night.
Toss
your thoughts?
Yeah, you know what? Throw caution to the wind. And, you know, those Vikings have no tape on Trubisky, so, yeah, I can't see how anything could possibly go wrong. Is this what is like his 13th start of his career,
yeah,
including college?
Some 14th, maybe.
14th?
Yeah,
14th.
Like that.
Yeah, 14th.
It's going to be fascinating. Here's a real question, though. How high is Deshaun Watson on your rankings? And he's playing against the Chiefs. We have a text who has him and Alex Smith, which is an interesting conversation in the same game. Yeah,
who would guess that, you know, you'd even care about those two guys, let alone the fact that they're both in the top 10 among quarterbacks for the season to this point? Deshaun Watson, a legitimate dual threat. I always knew that the legs could be there, but I didn't think we would get consistent passing necessarily. And actually, it's turned out pretty well. And he goes up against Kansas City. This is a rebuilt secondary. They lost Derek Berry, as most people know, and now they've given up the seventh most yards through the air. So actually, I like Watson a lot. He's all the way up at number 7 in my rankings this week. And I think at this point, because of what he gives you on the ground, he's pretty close to an every week starter for everybody that doesn't have like Brady and Rodgers. I think you're going to war with Deshaun Watson. He's that good right now. Like top 5 fantasy quarterback.
Hmm. I mean, we've talked super flex in two QB leagues before.
Yes,
Mitch Trubisky does have some mobility there, and he can't be worse than Glennon. Is he a QB2?
No. No. I mean,
I would argue he is rosterable. I would argue.
I don't know. I mean, I'd rather take, if I'm going to take somebody who's got some mobility, I'll take somebody who's got a handful of starts under his belt, like Jacoby Brissett, who goes up against the 49ers. To me, that is, if I'm going to go, you know, deep roster spot and I'm looking for some mobility, Brissett's a better runner, and I know he can pass the ball and isn't going to be overwhelmed by the moment. I can't necessarily say any of that about Trubisky.
Yeah, my partner's drunk. He hasn't seen him play a snap, but he's all in.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to be good.
He's ready to go.
He's going to be good.
Someday he might be good. Odds are the chance of him being great coming out of the gate in with so little experience under his belt is very low.
Charge Dalvin Cook, that's a devastating blow. Some of us grabbed Chris Carson. Now that's another devastating blow. So help with some running backs. People out there like Buck Allen or stuff like that. Give us some running backs to grab.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys off of the waiver wire that you want to give consideration to this week. It's a great opportunity, actually. We don't have a lot of weeks like this that typically show up. So running backs that can help your team, and I'll put them in rough order of where I think you ought to go. I'm lukewarm on Latavius Murray because he's not good for starters, and he'll only give what the Vikings offensive line gives him, and that's not going to be a lot. And it's like a 60-40 split with Jerick McKinnon. So I'm not crazy about that. Alvin Kamara is available in 20% of leagues. All in on that guy. Absolutely go get him. We could talk more about him if you want. Alex Collins, maybe your starter for Green Bay. I don't love him, but I'm sorry. He's your starter for the Ravens because they're getting nothing out of Terrence West, and they're getting nothing out of Buck Allen. Terrence West, by the way, ran for -7 yards last week. that's not easy to do. And so a good opportunity for Alex Collins to step in. The only catch with him is he's a fumbler. Aaron Jones may start in place of Ty Montgomery. Wayne Gallman's pretty interesting. Plays for the Giants. He's now he basically in one half of work. He put up 42 yards last week, which now gives him the high water mark for any Giants back in any game this year at 42 yards. And easy matchup for Wayne Gallman this week as well. He goes up against, hang on. I know who he's got.
He's got the Chargers.
Chargers. They've given up the most running back yards per game and 5.3 yards per carry.
Wow.
Wayne Gallman. Andre Ellington. He is what they've done. They've carved out all the pass catching that David Johnson used to do when he was on the field, and they've given all of those receiving responsibilities to Andre Ellington. So now Andre Ellington's sitting on all of these huge target games, and he's turned into a PPR guy as well. And the last two guys you can think about are in Seattle, Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy. They have both at some point this year been healthy scratches, but now due to a series of injuries and CJ Procise isn't healthy, both of them will be active, and they have a nice, juicy matchup this week. So you've got opportunities there, too.
Paul Charchian, fanball.com is where you can find his rankings. Your toughest either-or decision. Give him the players and the matchup, and Charch will tell you who to play. Brian in Normal, you're up first with Charch.
It's a PPR league. I got Jimmy Graham against the Rams or DeSean Jackson in New England tonight.
DeSean Jackson tonight, the speed guy against a Pats secondary that's been vulnerable.
Yeah, to speed guys. You know, we all remember what Tyreek Hill did in week one. It's basically tonight's game in a nutshell is start everybody. This is the number 31 pass defense against the number 32 pass defense, and two teams that really orient heavily towards the pass. Everybody gets above average grades that's a part of this game, including Doug Martin, who I think is there's going to be a lot of hesitation for owners to put him in, but do it. Give it a load of this. The Patriots defense, ranking dead last against the pass, has pulled this off, also dead last in total running back yards allowed. Think about that. Most against the pass overall, most yards to running backs overall. Doug Martin's going to walk in. Jaquizz Rodgers did nothing to distinguish himself. Doug Martin walks in. The only real question here in my mind is he like 15 carries or is he 20 carries or 22 carries? But I like Doug Martin either way. But everybody else in this game is a solid go.
Quick running back question via text. LeGarrette Blount against the Cardinals or Frank Gore versus the 49ers? Wendell Smallwood complicating things for Blount, too.
Yeah, and Smallwood may not even play in this game, which would uncomplicate things if he were nice enough to tap out of this. Smallwood's really taking the pass-catching role, and so I don't think that totally necessarily affects Blount so much. Blount got heavy, heavy usage last week, and he goes up against Arizona. Arizona's run defense is good. It's not elite like it was last season. They ranked number one against the run last year. Now they're kind of middle of the pack, so I'm actually okay on Blount this week.
NIU Dave, you're on with Charge. Go.
Charge!
Charge is my leader, not Theo. Charge helps.
Why, thank you. Attaboy.
Charge, assuming the health of both of these guys at game time, would you start Allen Hurns at Pittsburgh or Kelvin Benjamin at Detroit? Thanks a lot.
Allen Hurns, yeah, I don't like going up against a great Pittsburgh secondary at home at all, and I think this set up very, very poorly for Blake Bortles, except maybe some garbage time, but even then, that's super dicey. So we'll take Kelvin Benjamin in a much easier, and I know he's done nothing either, but I'll take him in a much easier matchup.
Yeah, Devin Funchess emerging there. You have Funchess still below Benjamin on your rankings?
Yeah, this week I do because of the matchups that they got. Darius Slay is awesome. Slay is going to line up on the Funchess side this week, and that means that Kelvin Benjamin doesn't get him, and so I like Benjamin better. You have to know where Slay is. He's turned into that. We call it the Slay ride. Devin Funchess is getting on the Slay ride this week, so we're off Funchess.
I get it.
Yeah.
Kevin and McHenry, you're on with Charge. Go.
Hey, Mike Gillisley, who has been bad so far this year.
No,
Chris Johnson with Arizona.
Oh, for the love of God. Mike Gillisley's got 5 touchdowns. He hasn't been bad. Come on. That's not even remotely true. The problem is if he doesn't get you the touchdowns, you get very little.
46 yards or so, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, he's that kind of guy. Now, actually, he ran really hard last week. But to compare him to the undead corpse of the tap-dancing Nancy is not even close. Chris Johnson's averaging 2 yards a carry. This is not even in consideration position. There could be 80 points scored tonight, and nobody would be surprised. You want a part of that. You want to start Mike Gillisley.
Talking to Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com, Fanball.com. Let's go to Matt in Bloomington. Matt, you're on with Charch.
Yeah, PPR flex, Buck Allen at Oakland or Danny Amendola at Tampa Bay.
So it's a running back and a wide receiver, Amendola in a crowded target batch for the Pats.
Don't care that it's crowded. I'm still taking Amendola again. I'm starting virtually everybody I can start tonight, and this is it's still a good opportunity for him. He goes up against cornerback Robert McClain, who owns the lowest grade of any cornerback by Pro Football Focus. He's dead last, and that's your slot matchup for Danny Amendola. I love Amendola in this matchup. Again, we're starting virtually everybody tonight that we can.
Any surprise quarterback that you would like? I mean, we got Cousins, Breeze, Ryan. We got a lot of good ones on byes.
Yeah, we do have a lot of good ones on byes. Carson Wentz has been shockingly good. He's in the top 10 for fantasy points. He's a guy, if you have to go deeper than that, Brian Hoyer, you know, I liked him in the preseason. He's had one splashy games, and otherwise he's been mundane. But this is not a half bad opportunity for him as he goes up against Indianapolis. It's obviously a bad team. The Colts allow almost 300 yards and 1.5 touchdowns per game on average. So Hoyer, who lit up the last bad secondary he faced the Rams, has another opportunity this week. So he's your, you know, go get him off the waiver wire guy to pick up.
Would you still be rostering Andrew Luck?
Well, you know, at this point, you've driven the depreciation off the lot on Andrew Luck, and so, you know, you've paid the price of holding him this long, and unless the bye weeks just force you to give it up, I hate to now, when he's just starting to return to practice, to give it up at this point. Granted, he's still probably 3 weeks away from starting, but I think at this point, you've paid so much, you may as well hold him.
A texter has a quarterback question. Matthew Stafford at home against Carolina or Russell Wilson of the Seahawks at the Rams?
Yeah, this is a great opportunity for Russell Wilson. When facing quarterbacks not named Scott Tolzien or Jacoby Brissett, that Los Angeles is giving up 2 passing touchdowns and 260 passing yards, and that's pretty much exactly what Russell Wilson's 4-game average against the Rams is, 260 and 2. We'll take that. That sounds good. And, you know, with Chris Carson out, I think there's that many more passes to go around. So we'll take Russell Wilson, my number 6 quarterback this week.
Ray, you're on with Charge. Go ahead.
Hey, what's happening, Charge?
Hi, Ray.
Hi, I would like to know if I should get in on this New England love tonight and start Rex Burkhead over Tariq Cohen on Monday?
Rex Burkhead's not healthy, so I'm not going to go quite that far. I always said basically start everybody with a pulse, but he may not even have a pulse. So we'll start Tariq Cohen and just take your, you know, 7 receptions and handful of carries and be happy with that against the Vikings.
Let's get 2 more real quick. Let's go to John in Oak Lawn. John, you're on with Charge. Go ahead.
Hey, Church, I got a flex question. I got Wendell Smallwood against the Cardinals or Sammy Watkins against the Seahawks?
Well, Smallwood might not even go, so is that easy in that sense?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is easy in that sense. This is a Cardinals team that ranks 18th in receiving yards allowed to opposing tailbacks, so if Smallwood goes, I've got him ranked 33. Sammy Watkins has got a tough matchup. The angle here is this. Richard Sherman, as most people know, stays on his left side of the field. Sammy Watkins runs over 50% of his plays from the other side of the field. So there's your glimmer of hope for Watkins. I've got him at 28 at the receiver position. I'm going to take Watkins and the healthy guy here.
Hey, Charge, Adam Thielen, you know, has been productive. Even when it's Keenum, he's actually had some catches.
Correct.
And some yards. What's the situation, Keenum Bradford, and do you like Thielen over a guy like Will Fuller of the Texans?
Actually, I love Will Fuller this week.
Okay.
And, you know, not just saying that he scored twice last week. You know, we're beyond that here. No Eric Berry, and Fuller's been he's not a high volume guy, so it's boom or bust, but it turned into an average Kansas City secondary, and anytime you're not on Marcus Peters, you got a chance. So I like Will Fuller. That said, Thielen gives you the consistency, right?
Mm-hmm.
He leads the Vikings in targets and receptions and has had at least one play of at least 24 yards in every single matchup. Now, you guys are familiar with Bryce Callahan. He's been pretty good. He's held Mohamed Sanu, Adam Humphries, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Randall Cobb, all those slot guys, to an average of 37 scoreless yards a game. So there's your. I'm sorry, Cobb did score a touchdown. All the rest did not. So there's your. I got Adam Thielen at number 21. I think it's a slightly down matchup.
Last one. I think this is a tough one.
Right.
Trubisky or Brady?
That's pretty tough.
Okay.
That's, but it tells us where you stand on this whole Trubisky matter. You know, I think, is
this
really,
happening.
Danny,
it's
is this
happening.
Just because you were so, you so much wanted a quarterback change that now you've just decided that the backup is going to be great?
Well, A, that was a joke. B, I wanted them to draft Deshaun Watson. But C, I really do think Mitch Trubisky is going to be good, even though I think it's a tough matchup against Minnesota. I do think that Mitch Trubisky will be a very good quarterback in the NFL before it's said and done. That does not mean I would play him in fantasy football, but I just like messing with you.
I like messing with me, you guys, too. All right. It's all good.
Thanks,
thank you, my
Church.
Friend.
Thank
talk
you,
to you later. Bye-bye.
Fanball.com, LeagueSafe.com. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit WebFord in Highland, Indiana. The segment brought to you by Sprint. To learn how you can get the best price for unlimited, visit Sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today. Sprint works for me compared to similar plans from national carriers. Features differ.
We'll do pick a player at about 10:40. We got Len Casper to talk Cubs at 11 and Theo Epstein, the president of baseball operations, at noon on The Score.
That's exactly right. It's Spiegel and Parkins on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back in on Spiegel and Parkins on The Score, the segment brought to you by the Private Bank, now CIBC. The Private Bank is now CIBC. Their name may have changed, but their commitment to your business is now stronger than ever. Visit CIBC.com/us, member FDIC. Dusty Baker has announced his Game 1 starter.
Is that all he gave us?
It's all he gave us. And no surprise, Steven Strasburg will get the ball against Kyle Hendricks.
Strasburg and Hendricks is a very, very intriguing matchup. How long will they last? Since the starters aren't lasting very much these days in the playoffs. But yeah, Strasburg with some of the best stuff in the game. When he's rolling, it's 98 with movement, and the changeup sits at around 90 or 91. Ridiculous.
A couple of Cubs who have had success when you're thinking about the lineup against Strasburg. Almora is 2-for-6 with 2 doubles against Strasburg.
Yeah.
Ben Zobrist, Almora, and Hayward a combined 15-for-37, hitting .405 against Strasburg. John Jay only 1-for-9 against Strasburg.
I got another one.
So it could be a game that we see Zobrist, Almora, and Hayward as a starting outfield.
Yeah. Do you have everybody versus him?
I don't.
Okay. Let me see if I can find, because, yeah. Yeah. All right. This is Tommy La Stella versus Steven Strasburg is 3-for-10 with a homer and an RBI. Tommy La Stella, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know if I can start Tommy La Stella in game one of the NLDS as the defending champ. I don't know if I can do that.
No, I don't think you will. I think you'll see a defensive lineup out there. I think you'll see Baez and Addison Russell as your middle infield for almost every single game.
I would say for every game.
I don't know that they'll start every game like that just because of all the options. If he's going to want to get Schwarber's bat in there, then does Hayward sit for Zobrist?
I thought you were just talking about Baez and Russell as your starting middle infield.
Well, I think he's going to get Zobrist in there for just about every game. So sometimes...
He might have
Bryant in left to start a game and for the Leicester game and have Baez at third. So he can get Zobrist in there and then go to his defensive lineup later in the game.
I guess I'd be a little surprised if Zobrist didn't spend the vast majority of his time in the outfield, either starting in left for Schwarber or starting in right for Hayward. I'd be. Javi's been so good, and they rely so much on that middle infield defense. I guess I'd be mildly surprised if he got more than one start or so at second base.
Well, we'll see. Of these first three games, I'll go ahead and bet that Zobrist will start the Leicester game at second base with Baez at third and Bryant in left, but we'll see.
That'd be fun to see. That'd be fun to see Joe do that.
Yeah,
so there we go.
But you mentioned Hayward. It's like, I mean, how much of Hayward are we going to see? Does Hayward deserve to be a pencil-in guy every damn day in right field? He did hit the ball well over the past 3 weeks or so.
And so
maybe he will be.
I would have less objection to taking Hayward out of my starting lineup than I would Baez. You know, certainly.
Sure.
But I mean, I get it. Veteran presence, defense, base running and all of that. But Hayward's an easy defensive substitute for me. And if... You know, I believe also that against these good starters, I'm okay with prioritizing offense. Like, I want to see Schwarber in there. I want to see Zobrist get his at-bats in there. I want to see Baez in there. The guys who on one swing can give you a two-run lead. Like, the Cubs are very reliant on home runs. And so, at least in the first couple of innings, you know, the first few times through the order, rather, I want them to prioritize offense over defense more times than not.
Well, yeah, and that's why I think you'll see Zobrist sometimes at second base, just because they're going to want his bat, his veteran bat, give you great at-bats, give you some walks, and find a way to get Baez somewhere else, or sit Javi for a few innings if you might. Or maybe they'll sit Addison for a couple of innings.
I'd be surprised.
Addison actually had a very good offensive showing when he returned. His at-bats looked a lot more organized. He looked like he did towards the end of the rookie camp, or at the end of the second campaign, and towards the end of the playoffs last year, as opposed to the guy who was in chaos for the first couple of months. Starting pitchers, man, as you mentioned, what, 22 outs?
22 outs so far.
In two games.
Two playoff games. Four starters, 22 outs. So, and you assume, even though that Dusty didn't reveal anything beyond that, we're still assuming that Gio goes in game two and Scherzer in game three?
Yeah, unless Dusty's holding out some crazy Scherzer hope for game two, you know? So maybe that's why he doesn't do it, but probably.
Megan Malachy has on her Twitter that Scherzer will pitch today and, quote, they'll see.
Okay. So he's doing the Arrieta plan from yesterday. Mm-hmm. So he's going through his warm-ups today. But there was the report from John Heyman that he was targeting game three.
Yeah, which would make the most sense.
Dusty said that if Scherzer cannot go game two, it'll be Gio game two. But if he can't go game two, Scherzer's going game three.
Okay, so it's game three at the absolute latest for Scherzer.
That's what Dusty said.
Which obviously damages them, because even with the two off days, you move Scherzer to game three and you're not getting two appearances from Max Scherzer, unless you bring him back in game five in relief if you're going to be wacky. But Dusty will probably go, this is my prediction, instead of bringing back a starter in relief in game five, Dusty will go with Dave Veers. He will bring in Dave Veers to pitch.
Okay, you're out there. You are on the record.
Yeah, man.
It's bold.
Book it.
That is a bold hot take.
Because Jack McKeon was doing it with Dontrell Willis. Actually, I don't really have any. I don't have a lot of Dusty anger and Dusty scars.
Strong Dusty feelings that would vacillate between positive and negative. You know what I mean? Dusty was the manager of those teams that I was growing up with and loved and all of that. Uh-huh. And I thought that he was going to be the dude to do it and like win the World Series. So of course there was like disappointment in Dusty and all of that stuff. But I have no feelings towards Dusty Baker anymore.
None at all?
None at all. They won the World Series. It's the, you know, when you break up with the ex, it hurts. And if you stalk the Facebook profile and you see her happy with the new guy, you're jealous. But if you're happily married with the perfect life and kids, you wish them the best. Don't care. Whatever. You never go back to their page anymore. The Cubs have Theo and Joe in a World Series title. I don't care about Dusty Baker anymore.
I hope you never have to endure that reality that you just described.
Thank you. Well, I mean, you know, we've all broken up with people before.
We have. Like, we have.
Even if it's not a divorce, we've all broken up with people before and had feelings there. But yeah, I don't care about Dusty Baker anymore. If he beats the Cubs, you know, he beats the Cubs.
I don't know.
So be it.
I think there's some people that are holding on to that stuff.
Oh, of course. I don't hold grudges, Speaks. Let's get to Joe.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Danny, I think you can lock Jason Hayward into a start in right field against Steven Strasburg.
Okay.
Lifetime, 37 at-bats for Jason Hayward, 15 hits. He has an OPS of 1.058 against Steven Strasburg in 37 at-bats. Hits him well. Also hits Scherzer well, but actually that's only in 11 at-bats, so that's a tiny little sample. But he's 4-for-11 lifetime against Scherzer. So Hayward will be in there tomorrow night against Strasburg game one. We'll be there.
And we'll be there thanks to CDW and Intel. CDW, people who get it. We are broadcasting tomorrow. If you're going to be in D.C. or you're listening from D.C. from the top of the yard rooftop bar at the Hampton Inn and Suites Navy Yard. So the Hampton Inn and Suites right by the ballpark will be at the rooftop bar. CDW bringing me, Speaks, and Jay Zawoski to the game.
And we thank them. Texters, I have very strong anti-Dusty feelings.
Of course.
Here's one.
Yeah.
Here's one. I don't have Dusty scars. Here's another. I like this. I don't hold a grudge against Dusty because it's much easier now not to hate him knowing that he didn't blow our only chance at a World Series.
Right.
So as you say.
It's exactly right. Like, you know, I thought, like everybody, that team, you know, Pryor and Wood and the injuries and the disappointment in 2003. I mean, it was like devastating sports moments in my life. And like, of course I had blame for the innings and you question it and why did it happen? And Dusty Baker runs pitchers into the ground and all of that stuff, of course. But now I have time heals all wounds. The World Series is fresh. I'm good. Go get your ring, Dusty. Like, I'd rather it not happen this year because he'd have to beat the Cubs.
Yeah, I was going to say, but like, Pally.
But I don't root against Dusty Baker actively. Like, I will this series because he's playing the Cubs. But if the Cubs lose to the Nationals, does it hurt extra because he lost to Dusty Baker? No, not to me. And it's not like I will even go root for him actively. Like, I no longer really have feelings, positively or negatively, towards Dusty Baker.
Dusty's a good atmosphere provider for a team. He just always has been. It's always been his strength. He gets the whole, like, us against the entire universe thing going, and it somehow works. And then he seems to get guys comfortable over the course of a regular season. He makes the playoffs a ton, and then we'll just see if their sphincters tighten up like they have before for teams of his and like the Nationals have before.
Do you think that Theo will admit to the pressure being on the Nationals?
I don't know. So it's a good question. Jed did not when we talked about it in that context.
Zobrist did, and Theo has been in so many playoff series on so many teams that have either been the favorite or the team with all of the pressure on them trying to end curses in Boston and Chicago. Like, he understands the difference in terms of pressure and expectations between two teams in a playoff
series. He's also always quick to point out that people are human beings if they've struggled.
Yeah.
You know?
I would imagine that he would.
Maybe it will.
Like, I don't think that that's a shocking headline to say that there is more pressure on the Nationals in this series.
I think it's undeniable.
Right. And part of that is because of Dusty Baker, and part of that is because they'll lose Bryce Harper in free agency in a couple of years, and part of it is the majority of this core never been out of the first round.
Long, long time. They've made three playoffs and lost all three of those first series after winning three divisions with no pennant races and having three or four days off. It's exactly like this scenario right here, and that whole town is waiting for them to go next level.
All right, 312-644-6767. We got prizes, and we've got contestants in Adrian Amos, Fergie Jenkins, Zach Miller, and your Game 1 starter, Kyle Hendricks. You want to play Pick a Player for some prizes against those participants? 312-644-6767. Pick a Player before Len Casper at 11 on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Pick a player.
Let's see here.
This is a bad one for me.
I can't even remember names now.
I don't know that one.
That's all I got. Corgi and Bess.
That's terrible.
With Spiegel and Parkins on the score.
Thursdays at 10:40, we like to play a really dumb but fun game. It is a game of margin of error, and it makes you think on your feet, and you can play along even if you're not playing. If you haven't heard the game before, you will quickly figure it out. Our contestants today are playing for an MLB Network prize pack. This postseason, MLB Network brings you two division series games, plus live coverage before and after every game on MLB Tonight. Visit MLBNetwork.com, plus a Sport Clips free haircut. They cut hair. You watch sports. It's perfect. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Who do we got?
Adrian Amos, Bears safety, Fergie Jenkins, Cubs legend, Zach Miller, Bears tight end and potential recipient of more passes from Mitch Trubisky, and game one of the division series, Cubs starting pitcher Kyle Hendricks.
All right, look, this is some timely stuff, folks, because Adrian Amos is a starter now, too.
That's
thanks
true.
To the broken arm of Quentin Demps.
Luke in Palos Park, Adrian Amos, Fergie Jenkins, Zach Miller, or Kyle Hendricks. Pick a player.
Let me go with Fergie. He's old.
All right. You ageist bastard. All right. Fergie Jenkins.
I'm a strategy. Yeah. He's also a Cubs Hall of Famer, and they've proven to be...
not great.
Yeah, not very not trustworthy. Great.
All right. Fergie Jenkins had 15 seconds to name as many 300-game winners as pitchers as he could. Pitchers who have won 300-plus games. Luke, 15 seconds on your mark. Get set. Go.
Roger Clemens, Pedro, let me go with Greg Maddux, Randy Johnson, Cy Young maybe. Andy Pettit.
You talked all that junk, Luke, and then you got four.
How old are you, Luke? How old
35.
Are you, buddy?
Yeah. 35.
Mm. Mm-hmm. You ageist. Let's hold on here.
He's good on Randy Johnson. He's not good on Pedro.
Right, but he was good on the other ones, right?
Yes.
Maddox, Cy Young.
Yes.
Confirming there. Okay.
Clemens, yes.
And Clemens was the other one. Let's see if Fergie Jenkins, this was a category that was right up his alley. Let's see if let's see how he did.
Johnson, Maddox, Nolan Ryan, Cy Young, Grover Cleveland Alexander.
Damn, I love that.
Clemens.
Nice.
All right, we got him down for six. Nicely done, Fergie. You want to apologize to the legend, Luke?
Sorry, Fergie. You're so wise.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
It was really heartfelt.
Yeah, it really was.
I love that he went Grover Cleveland Alexander. I like old people.
Yeah, you're the opposite of the first contestant.
I'll be one sooner than you.
That's how it works. You. Corey in Whitewater, Adrian Amos, Zach Miller, or Kyle Hendricks. Pick a player.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, I'll take Adrian Amos.
All right. Adrian Amos, Bears safety, had 15 seconds to name as many fast food restaurants as he could. Fast food spots. Corey, 15 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
McDonald's, Burger King, Hardee's, Wendy's, KFC, Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, Taco Bueno, Pepe Taco, Brown's Chicken, Culver's, Steak and Shake, White Castle.
Yeah, no, don't give him White Castle because he started the music late.
Wisconsin guy right there. Likes his fast food.
I know, he named two taco places I've never heard of. Pepe Bueno or like Taco Bueno or something.
Fat podcast.
All are approved.
Okay. What's the...
it's the I'm Fat podcast.
All delicious, too, by the way.
The Fat podcast, a totally different show. It's terrible.
I think he said Pepe's Tacos, which is a great place.
Okay.
If they're looking for an endorser, I'm their man.
All right, then Taco Bueno.
Taco Bueno I've heard of, never been to.
So what'd you guys have him for? 12?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was 11, but it's 12.
That's a lot.
12's a good score. Let's see if Adrian Amos knows his fast food.
Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Wendy's, Sonic, Bojangles, Jack in the Box, White Castle, Pizza Hut, Domino's, Five Guys.
Wow, do we give him the pizza places?
I say yes.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yes.
I think you got to do right, it, cool. Right?
All right.
I mean, there's no drive-thru. Like, how do you define fast food? I used to do it with drive-thru, but then, you know, these new age restaurants have kind of changed the game a little bit. Like, Five Guys feels like fast food to me.
If it makes you fat quickly.
Makes you fat quickly. It's pretty good. All right, Corey in Whitewater with a +2 over Adrian Amos.
Wow, that could be hotly debated. We'll see what happens with Corey.
Yeah?
If Corey's got a beef, you know? I mean, Five Guys uses beef, but is it fast food? That's a whole other question.
I don't know. I mean, these are the types of conversations that come out of Pick-A-Player.
I've never been to a Bojangles, which has no locations north of Pennsylvania. And it's got a lot of stuff in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and beyond.
Neil in Westchester. Kyle Hendricks or Zach Miller? Pick a player.
I'll go Zach Miller.
Zach Miller, Bears tight end. The I'm Fat podcast, very upset with this category. The Bears tight end had to name as many fruits and or vegetables as he could in 15 seconds. Fruits and vegetables, Neil, 15 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Banana, apple, pear, peach, plum, pineapple, broccoli, green beans, peas, Brussels sprouts, oranges, Fuji apples.
Did you say apples earlier?
Did you say apple and then go to the Fuji apple?
Yeah, no, you can't go Ryan's.
No, I didn't repeat. No way.
It's not possible.
He snuck in tangerine under the
can't
wire, though.
Okay, so we can't do it. Good job, Neil. So what are we giving him? We giving him 11?
We didn't count in protest.
I have 11. I've never heard of any of them, but I'll give him 11.
All right, 11 it is.
A lot of them are good fried, just for the record.
Let's see if Zach Miller knows his fruits and vegetables.
Strawberries, bananas, kiwis, grapes, blackberries, blueberries, broccoli, zucchini, cucumber, tomatoes.
Nope. Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Tomatoes are fruit, but I realized categories fruits and vegetables. So we're good.
You came in hot with an anti-tomatoes and vegetable take.
Well, I'm a big tomato clarifier. Yeah. Always have been.
Right. It's something you feel passionate about.
I like that if you thought it was fruits, broccoli was okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's possible I'm an idiot. It's entirely possible.
Join the club.
All right. How many do you get?
I had him down for what, 10 and 10? Okay, that's a plus. Well, I don't know. You guys are just giving me thumbs up. I think I'm the only one counting. that's a plus one. So Corey and Whitewater still at the lead with a plus two. Nice job. Jace Wasky showing me his scoreboard. All comes down to James in Joliet. You got Kyle Hendricks on the board. What's your confidence level?
50-50.
All right, you only got to beat him by three or more. He's cool under pressure. He's the game one starter for the Cubs. Kyle Hendricks had 15 seconds. He's an Ivy League guy. We asked him to name as many Big Ten schools as he could. Big Ten schools, 15 seconds on your mark. Get set, go.
Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana, Purdue, Rutgers, Maryland, Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Northwestern, and I think I doubled up one.
No, I think you hit
all 14.
You just rattled through 14. That is tremendous.
On your feet. Well done, James. Are you an alum of any of those schools?
No, I'm Northern Illinois.
Good for you.
Okay, well, now name every bar on Sheffield between Belmont and Diversey that represents each of those schools. Go!
No, it's maybe not.
Okay.
All right. For 14... Guessing Kyle Hendricks did not do that
dude.
Well. Let's hear him.
Northwestern, Indiana, Wake Forest, maybe? No. Big Ten. Illinois. Minnesota.
Wow. Plus 10.
That's true. I mean,
that's
rattling off.
That's a high score right there.
The rattling off of the 14 without doubling up and without pausing in 15 seconds is going to be tough to beat in terms of pick a player accomplishments.
James, congratulations. You are the first inductee into the Spiegel and Parkins Pick a Player Hall of Fame. Congratulations. Can I get a time, please? No?
No. Okay. Yeah. Not that big a fan. Listener.
That's okay. I tried to stretch it one step too far. I have a tendency to do that. Len Casper at 11 and some glorious audio you need to hear. We're back well before 11 on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins on the score. Texters coming in hot all over the place.
All over the place, man.
Player stuff.
Yelling at me about fruits and vegetables.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, all vegetables are technically fruits, sir, except root vegetables. The term vegetable is a culinary definition. It's not botanical, sir. Thank you very much.
I'm going back and forth with a texter who is outraged that we would give a category that has a ceiling, like Big Ten schools, because he goes, well, what if both players named all of them? Then you would screw that person. He's like, okay, you're right. Checkmate. That's never happened before. It's 15 seconds. It's a margin of victory game. Yeah. And screw you. You got to think of categories on your feet when you get 2 minutes with these guys. But you're right.
Right. And then I like this one. I say no for pizza places being fast food. 20 to 25 minutes for a pizza is not fast food. That's bull bleep.
Also,
passion.
Texter's also correctly pointing out that Adrian Amos deserves more props for his incredible ability to name. He named, what, 11
fast food places
in 15 seconds. Very
awesome.
Solid effort.
And then I said that Bojangles is there's none north of Pennsylvania. And people are like, north of Pennsylvania is New York State and then Canada.
Right.
Okay. Well, yeah, I meant like north and west. Like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever.
I didn't even catch that.
There's nothing west of Ohio nor north of Pennsylvania. So.
You guys saw the Jay Cutler play that went viral of him doing nothing in the Wildcat. It was glorious because people were, you know, putting like the cigarette in his mouth and, oh, Jay Cutler doesn't care about football and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, here's his explanation for why he didn't care on that play.
How much of a target were you in that Wildcat formation?
Zero. I don't even think they knew I was out there. I mean, Matt told me that I created quite a buzz, but that's what they told me to do. Sit there, don't get hit, don't touch anybody, don't move. I feel like I executed that one.
He executed it flawlessly. You have to give him credit for that.
Oh, there's that wry Jay Cutler humor.
You missed that?
Oh,
you missed that in your life after all these Mike Glennon games?
I'm really glad he's not our problem anymore. I really am. I mean, I had picked up the Jay Cutler conversational sword so many times and then eventually put the conversational sword back in its scabbard And then he had the best year of his Bears tenure. Like, I was done. I was like, you know what? Jay just is what he is. And then he had a great year under Adam Gase. Or a better year.
He had a 21 touchdown, 11 interception year. It was a fine year.
It was a better year. And so you got to break out the sword again and have the conversations again. And then from a covering perspective, I'm done with that. And also, like, you know, from the Bears perspective, get better or get worse. And they got worse for a little while, and now hopefully they'll get better starting Monday night. I'm very, very pleased with the new angle on things.
I just love that the Dolphins have a play where, like, they're going around, right? And, you know, the offensive line has to do this thing in blocking, and the receivers have to do their thing in blocking and routes. Then the running back who's getting the ball snapped to him has his option and all that. And they're like, all right, Jay, your job here is to just act too cool for school and be disinterested.
Got that.
I can do that. Mm-hmm. I can do that. I don't even need to practice, coach.
Whatever.
I'm ready. Like, you don't even worry about it. I don't even have the playbook. Just call the disinterested Jay, play and tell me where to stand. I'm fine.
Jay, try to access your apathy.
Can you do that?
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.